It's been a long, long time coming.
How good is it to be able to sing with yourself?
It's pretty fantastic.
That is Biff Gore sitting in for Bob Belt today. This is Chuck King sitting in for Bo Mitchell. And you're listening to You Get the Blessing. And Biff and I have the pleasure of hosting the show today. That's great stuff. That's Biff Gore singing. What's the name of that song, Biff?
That song is A Change Is Gonna Come.
I love that song, man.
It is a great song.
And, you know, we have with us today a lady and an organization that is trying to make a change in the world today.
Wow.
We got Kimberly Tyson with us today. She works with Nightlight Christian Adoptions. Kimberly, are you there?
I sure am, Chuck.
Kimberly is on the phone with us today, so we can't see her pretty face while we're sitting here, but we can imagine. Kim, tell us about what Nightlight Adoptions does.
Well, Chuck, Nightlight Christian Adoptions has been an adoption agency for about 55 years, and we are involved in all forms of adoption and serve families throughout the United States. So we do domestic adoption, international adoptions in several different countries and continents. We do foster adoption, and we are the pioneer agency for a very unique form of adoption called embryo adoption.
Yes, I've been reading about that in some of the materials I got from you. I think you call that snowflake adoptions. Tell us more about that.
Our program is called the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program, because what we're doing is trying to help families who have gone through in vitro fertilization as an infertility treatment and created more embryos than they end up using. And these embryos end up in frozen storage tanks throughout the country. And right now, there are probably well over 600,000 human embryos in storage. And when those families have completed having the number of children that they want to have using these embryos that they created, they end up with a difficult decision about what should they do with them. And so the embryo adoption program is an effort to help these families choose life for those embryos and to place those embryos into the family of their choosing.
And as a Christian organization, what's your view of those fertilized embryos?
Well, we believe that life begins at conception, and that's why the program was established in the first place, because we have a child-centric organization. We believe in helping children in all stages of their biological development, and of course, each and every one of us began our life as a human embryo.
Amen. Kimberly, this is Biff Gore, and what you are saying is actually music to my ears. I am the president of Colorado Right to Life, and one of the amazing things is we have been that is our message. That life begins at conception, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so this is amazing, and I'm honored that we get to talk to you and talk to someone who's at the forefront of being the solution to the question. A lot of times people say, well, I want to have an abortion, or I want to do this. And then they say, well, what are you going to do for those women who want to adopt their child out? Well, there are options, and if people would just say, I will suffer through this for 9 months and then give my baby up for adoption. There are solutions out there. And I really appreciate the fact that you and your organization, Nightlight Adoption, is really doing something on all phases of the adoptive scheme.
Indeed, that's really what we're all about. And as I said earlier, you know, we're all about helping children in all phases of their biological development, from pre-birth to after-birth. And we have been very involved in the adoption of older children as well as infant children. But the embryo adoption program is very unique. We are not the only ones who offer this anymore, but the ability for the adopting family to actually give birth to their adoptive child is incredibly rewarding to them, and it's an excellent way for a family to bring an infant into their home, and it's a great solution for the families who have remaining embryos in frozen storage, who are scratching their head and thinking, what should I do with these embryos? My children were born from this same batch of embryos, and I'm not feeling very good about destroying them, about donating them to science. I'm not comfortable with keeping them frozen indefinitely. I really want to be able to choose a loving family that I know is going to give the life that I had planned for these embryos to these embryos.
Wow. I love the fact that, I love what you just said, where you're giving people the option to give birth to their own adoptive child. How did you get in, how did you get started in this?
Well, I myself got started. I had spent 23 years in the corporate world. I actually gave birth to my own daughter at the age of 45. I call her my last good egg. And I had finished my corporate career. I was looking for a new place to work in the area where I lived here in Loveland, Colorado. And a friend of mine connected me with her dad, Ron Stoddart, who was the executive director and now is president emeritus of Nightlight Christian Adoptions. And he needed somebody to manage a federal grant for him about raising awareness about human embryo adoption. And I have a lot of marketing skills, and we made a great connection. And he hired me to do this work. And so for the last 7 years, I've been managing our federal grant program. We receive funding from the Department of Health and Human Services to specifically increase awareness and participation in embryo adoption.
Wow.
Kimberly, I first heard about your organization through an attorney friend of mine who had done some work with you and realized that under the law, these fertilized embryos are treated just as property. And so you're taking a different approach than the law takes on those embryos, aren't you?
Well, you're exactly right, Chuck. The law of the land views human embryos as property and not people. Embryo adoption is not a legal form of adoption. What it is a process. And so as an adoption agency, we believe that the very good practices we have developed around adoption should be applied to the process of placing embryos into other families, either through donation or adoption programs, because the end result is going to be the birth of a baby, a human baby, not a piece of property, not a chair, but a baby. And we believe that the families that are involved in the placement of embryos and the birth of these adopted embryos really need all the benefits associated with the adoption process. So we call it embryo adoption, but the legal part of the process is governed by property law.
Wow. You know, we're one of the things that we've tried in Colorado for the last, I would say, last 6 years, is the personhood movement. And this would really benefit these, I would call future children, because they aren't property. God didn't uniquely design them. They have their own unique DNA. They are people. And until we start seeing them as people, what do you think are some of the ways that we can, as a culture, change the language, change the perception about adoption, about snowflake adoptions, so that people will see that these are people and not property?
Well, I think that a lot of the work that we are doing is trying to put a face on the fact that these babies, over 400 babies that have been born to the Snowflake program in particular, there's about 6,000 children that have been born as a result of donation and adoption over the last 20 years. But I think when you're doing stories and you're actually talking about, hey, this baby was frozen for 20 years, and now it's this little baby boy. This baby was frozen and thawed and frozen and thawed, and now he's a very active and rambunctious three-year-old boy who lives in the Kansas City area. You know, when people try to wrap their mind around the fact that, wow, you know, this microscopic thing, a human embryo, became this beautiful baby that is so loved by their family and so wanted by their family. And the donor family really had that in mind when they created that embryo in the first place. So that's a very complicated question, but I think people really need to start being more thoughtful about life and when does life begin and when does life have its value. God says life begins at conception.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Kimberly Tyson, who's the program and marketing director for Nightlight Christian Adoptions. You're listening to You Get the Blessing, and we've got Kimberly on with myself, Chuck King, and Biff Gore today. We're sitting in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell. What a great topic. You know, Kimberly, one of the concerns I had when I first heard about this is, I guess I have this devious mind. It's the attorney's mind, I think. And that is, anytime there's something that's created for good, there's always an opportunity for abuse. And one of my questions was, well, are there people out there who are just generating fertilized embryos for the purpose of making money? And how do you deal with that problem?
Well, that is a concern, Chuck. And right now in the United States, people sell their human eggs and their human sperm, and it is a commodity. Human sperm is not a very expensive commodity, but human eggs are a very expensive commodity. And a lot of times people who are dealing with infertility have a decision to make when they aren't able to conceive using their own gametes. They will turn to donor gametes for that, and that has become a commodity. Fortunately, in the United States, the commoditization, if you will, of human embryos has not taken place yet. There is pretty much a standard out there that you don't buy and sell human embryos. But I will tell you that a fertility clinic in California has decided to make designer embryos, but they are, at this point in time, kind of not very popular in the fertility community, clinic community at all. And so, you know, there's plenty of embryos in frozen storage, so there really isn't a need to create any more of them. But there's always that slippery slope, isn't there?
Yes. And, you know, I loved what you said a while ago when you talked about putting a face on the embryo. Jesus, I think, had a special place in his heart for children. In the 18th chapter of Luke, as you will recall, the people were bringing children to Jesus and having him touch them and bless them. And some of the disciples found it disruptive and were concerned about it. And he said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. To the kingdom of God belong such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. I think Jesus had a special place for children, and I think Christians ought to have a special place for children. We're also called upon by the scriptures to take care of widows and orphans, and we've spent a lot of time talking about snowflake adoptions, but Nightlight does all kinds of adoptions, dealing with all kinds of orphan children for one reason or another. Tell us more about what you do.
Well, Nightlight was established in 1959 as a domestic adoption agency. So back in that time when more women were placing their unplanned babies into other homes, and obviously secrecy was kind of the word of the day back in that time, that is not the methodology that we use today with adoption. Open adoption is kind of more of the norm, and we believe that secrecy is not a value that is a good value for families to hold. So we really believe both with domestic adoption and with embryo adoption, there should be some sort of relationship between the placing birth mother, the donor family, and the adopting family. You know, I was mixing metaphors there, but with embryo adoption, between the donor and the adopter, for domestic adoption, between the birth mother and the adopting family. We also do international adoption in Asia, in Africa, in Central and Eastern Europe, in the Stan countries, if you will. So we do a lot of international adoption. We did many, many international adoptions from Russia when Russia was open to placing their children with American families. And so, yes. And, oh, also the foster system. So we're just really now looking at the U.S. foster system and how can we come alongside families and help them navigate the bureaucracy of the foster system in the United States. And we just started that last December, and we've been seeing a lot of success with that.
I had a question for you. Do you think that more, you hear about people going overseas to adopt babies, and I've always thought that it was because the paperwork was just so ridiculous in the United States. Do you think if we had better screening, but less of the, you know, paperwork mountain, do you think more people would adopt American babies in America?
Well, I think in America, the issue isn't babies as much as it is older children. And when we say older children, we're talking about children that are 2 years old and older. Believe it or not, most people who want to adopt are really interested in adopting babies. And so certainly people are willing and able to adopt older children. Internationally, our agency focuses primarily on the older child and the placement of the older child. But I think I really don't have enough experience or knowledge about the U.S. foster system to speak as an expert about it. But I think that there is a position in the United States of reunification. And so the whole state system is about getting the child back into their family of origin or with extended family members of their family of origin. And I think there's a fear factor in the foster system of, you know, if I bring this child into my home and bring them into my emotional life and make an investment in this child and wanting to adopt that child, will that child be taken away from me and placed back into their family? Now, that being said, there are many, many children in the foster system where the parental rights have been terminated, and those children are absolutely available for adoption. So one of the things that we bring to the table as an adoption agency is to assist people through that process, and sometimes it can be difficult.
My understanding is that you've placed 2,000 domestic adoptions, 1,700 international adoptions, and 550 embryo adoptions. That's 4,200 and some children who have a home that they didn't have before. What great work that is.
Yes, and that is tying into Jesus' love for children, isn't it?
Amen.
Because we are definitely a child-centric organization.
I also noticed from some of the literature that I've read about Nightlight, you're all over the news these days. You've been on Good Morning America, CBS News, Local 8, NBC News, This Week, all different kinds of television and radio programs. Tell us why that is that you've been so much in the news.
Well, that is very exciting as a marketing person. I do work.
It must be because of the marketing vice president, huh?
I work with a public relations firm called Orca Communications, and they have been a great benefit to me as I have been trying to raise awareness about human embryo donation and adoption throughout the country. They work with various media outlets. I do a lot of interviews. Some of those programs that you just mentioned didn't really specifically relate to the Snowflakes program, but to embryo adoption. And I'm like, I take it any way I can get it. So when they're talking about embryo donation and adoption, Snowflakes has kind of become like the term Kleenex, even though it is a registered mark. People throw around the term snowflake baby to refer to their babies that were born as a result of donated embryos. And the reason we call it snowflakes is because we know that anecdotally we always say that each and every snowflake is unique, Obviously, a snowflake is frozen, like a frozen embryo, and they're each a gift from God, and that's why we named our program Snowflakes, and we are so excited about the exposure that we've gotten over the last year in the media.
Wow. You are listening to You Get the Blessing with Biff and Chuck sitting in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell, and we are listening to Kimberly Tyson from Nightlight Adoption. She's really enlightening us on the process of adoption in every phase, which is really a stand for life. And I really appreciate you. I think that the work you're doing is really the Lord's work, because he did tell us to protect life in all phases, and that we should be compassionate towards widows and orphans. And I just don't think we do enough of that. There are some local churches. I know Colorado Community Church. They started a foster care program with the end result being adoption. And I know their pastor, Robert Gelinas, who one of his goals, he really had a vision for, he knew how many kids were in the foster system in America, in Colorado. And he said that if every family in the church adopted one of these kids, we could clean out the foster care system in Colorado. And I think all churches really should have a vision like that. If every church had 10 families that wanted to adopt one of these children or adopt one of the kids that were in the foster care system, I think that would really make a huge difference in our culture, and we would be being obedient to what the Lord said to care for those widows and orphans.
Biff, you should get in on that. You're kind of short of kids, aren't you? How many do you have?
My wife and I have 6 children together. The oldest being 14, the youngest being 1-year-old. And I'm like you, my youngest was born when I was 45. So, you know, he's a cute little handful.
Kimberly, one of the reasons that we try to focus on people like you on You Get the Blessing is we're out there to try to support people who are doing good work for the kingdom, and you are certainly doing that. How can we help you? I know that you're a nonprofit organization, and if I'm guessing, I bet you could use some money, among other things.
Well, you know, I spoke with our executive director about my opportunity to speak with you today, and I said, you know, how can I explain best how people could help us as an organization? And bless his heart, he has a great acronym with the word ADOPT. And so the A stands for adopt, of course. And so if people are interested in adopting children, we have lots of programs for them to choose from. If they've never heard of embryo adoption and they've always wanted to give birth, that might be an opportunity for them that they've not heard of before. The D in adopt stands for donate, of course, and you can just go to www.nightlight.org, and we have a donation page there. O is for option, and that is for people who maybe find themselves unexpectedly pregnant, that there are options available to them. If they have embryos in frozen storage and they've never known that they could choose the family that receives their embryos, that there's an option available to them. P is for promote, and to always promote the idea of adoption amongst your friends and family. You know, if you have a heart for adoption, to be out there speaking on behalf of the orphan. And then, of course, the last T is for time, and not necessarily donating your time to Nightlight, but donating your time on behalf of the orphan. And whether that's a mission trip to Africa because you're going to work in an orphanage, or to Central America, I've done that before, but donating your time on behalf of the orphan. And so that is the acronym ADOPT and how people could help.
That is amazing. My oldest brother, who actually saved my life when we were in the military, when he got out, him and his wife adopted a child. And I often tell my niece, you're probably the only difference between you and us is that you're sane and we're not. And and I think it's because she was adopted, and she's just the sweetest girl. And well, she's a young lady now, but I know that adoption is a wonderful thing. And as Michael Reagan always says, he was the chosen one.
Kimberly, you're an outstanding interview. I think Biff and I just kind of get in the way. Really appreciate the work you're doing, and it's obvious that you're passionate about it. We got a minute or so for you to just tell us about your passion and what your passion is to see happen to adoption and in particular Nightlight for the future.
Well, I'm so excited about what is going on with Nightlight Christian Adoptions right now. We are opening new offices around the country. The embryo adoption program and the awareness campaign have been very successful over the last 12 months. In fact, we've actually doubled the number of people participating in our program, both as adopters and as donors in the embryo adoption program. And so that is so very exciting. And I just love what I do. It is so fun to be able to be involved in a program where you're really, truly impacting the lives of both families and children in a very positive way.
Kimberly Tyson of Nightlight Adoptions, tell us how people can get more information about Nightlight and about adoptions and particular embryo adoptions.
Well, our website is nightlight.org, and again, that's like a children's nightlight, so it's nightlight.org. You can also find out more about embryo adoption through our snowflakes.org website. I have an embryoadoption.org website, which is just chock full of information about embryo adoption. And our main number, now you're going to test me, is 714-693-5437. We're located in Southern California. It's our home office, but I'm in Loveland, Colorado.
And you have offices all over the United States?
We have 5 offices in the United States, but we do serve people in every state.
I encourage the listeners, Biff, to get more information about adoption and about Nightlight. Thank you so much for the work you're doing, Kimberly.
Thank you, Kimberly. We really appreciate you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you've been a pleasure.
It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long,